The CEO of Hugging Face testified in front of the U.S. Congress on June 26th, and he said that they already have about 200,000 models there, and about 5,000 models per week are being released on Hugging Face. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another News Slater pod. Hi, Esther.
Hi, Florian.
So, need to catch up on about 4 weeks of news. A lot has happened.
Been a while.
Hey, we crossed 30,000 followers on LinkedIn.
Very good.
It's a good threshold. Not quite. I think TransPerfect has like 1 million. I wonder how they get that. 1 million. But generally 30,000 is a quite strong benchmark. And, you know, let's add another 20 by the end of the year so we get to 50. Anyway, some of those people who follow us on LinkedIn will be joining us in October in Zurich for our in-person SlaterCon. Mentioned it last time. Now it's there. Agenda's taking form, taking shape. Super strong lineup. We got the CEO of RWS, Ian El-Mokadem, as the keynote speaker. I have not heard Ian speak anywhere else at an industry conference. Now, not that I track these things, but I'm looking forward to hearing him. Then we got Noor Al-Hassan, CEO of Tarjuma. We have Marcus Sayer, my managing director of Mayfair Equity Partners, joining our investor panel. We got Roland Hopkins from LanguageWire, the CTO. Chris Grebitz, CIO of WeLocalize. Andre Bastier, who was a guest on the pod, CEO of Happy Scribe. And Sheila Castillo, who is the program chair at Dublin City University for the Master in Translation Tech. So this is just a quick snapshot of the panelists and the speakers. Head over to the page. We're adding speakers every week, every day. Not every day, every week. So, and we're going to do a networking, what we call apéro. It's, I don't know. Do people in France use that term? At least we use it here in Switzerland. It's like, okay. It's, you know, like 5 to 8-ish. Like you basically, you're not going to offer, or you're not going to do a dinner. It's kind of drinks and some food so you don't keel over. So networking, apéro.
Nibbles.
Nibbles, exactly.
Bit more than nibbles, I think. Not like, not just peanuts, salted peanuts in a bowl, but something slightly more substantial, but not dinner.
We would not do that. Peanuts in bowls. No, we call it apéro riche. So, and you know, you need that because it's on the top floor of Zurich's tallest building, which doesn't say much though.
Is Zurich known for its tall building?
No, it's literally 120 meters. It's so sad. It's like 120 meters. That's like we're half of Hong Kong.
In a city of short buildings, this one is the tallest.
That's right. This one is the tallest, a giant among, you know, what's the proper dwarves? So it's a nice building. It's a nice bar. It does give you, hopefully the weather is going to be clear. So you do get to see the city and hopefully, you know, the Alps and all of that. And then the main conference is on October 4th, really packed day. I mean, like from 9 a.m. up to, it's 5:30 because you're going to moderate the final panel, which is going to be the investor panel. Great. Yeah. So enough about that. Register now. Tickets are there. We're probably going to max out at about 150 people. Let's see what's the capacity of the room. I think it's about 150 people. So that's where we're going to max out. So, you know, tickets are available as long as they are. On the agenda today, we talk a bit about ChatGPT traffic on OpenAI's website. Touch on what we called in one of our most recent newsletters, model inflation. So large language model inflation. You're going to tell us a bit more about the European Union's little housekeeping announcement. We're going to talk about the sad collapse of a media localization platform. Microsoft caved, and you're going to give us a brief update in your, let's do this as a regular segment, your M&A and funding corner.
Update from the month.
Update from the month. Now that we have a month of news to chew through, we're spoiled for choice. But first, something we didn't actually cover on the website, but that I'm shamelessly ripping off the All In podcast, which I'm listening to quite often. And they spoke about that. Actually, ChatGPT's traffic, like web traffic, has apparently peaked in, let me look there, in May, according to SimilarWeb.com, you know, one of those SEO companies that's giving you kind of stats on traffic. So it was up to, hang on, what was this? What am I looking at? Monthly visits, desktop web worldwide for chat.openai.com is like it nearly went to 2 billion visits a month. And it's now kind of heading towards 1.5 billion. That is, you know, still higher than Bing.com, which is crazy. And then they compared it to character.ai and Bard, bard.google.com, which is, you know, probably in the low 100 million, maybe 100 million, 200 million. What's my point? I think we're looking at peak hype for ChatGPT as is, for the kind of chat interface that we've all been playing around with, that we've, you know, checked some features that we find more or less useful, that is being integrated with various TMSs, CAT tools, and other technology that's relevant for the language industry. But, you know, as predicted by some, I think we're heading towards the, or we have kind of peaked in terms of the hype. Now, for comparison's sake, briefly to research, Google apparently does about 250 billion searches per month. You know, so 2 million web visits for OpenAI versus 250 billion Google searches per month. Now, that doesn't, I mean, Google search is obviously a web visit to OpenAI might be, you know, a few dozen questions or prompts. So maybe, I don't know how many prompts that they would have, maybe like five times more. So I don't know, 10 billion prompts a month. But yeah, it's still like a kind of a 10x difference there between Google and ChatOpenAI. Now, in terms of, while this is peaking, what's not peaking is models, large language models. We're barely keeping up, and it's very hard to contextualize this for us, what's relevant for the language industry and what's not. So for example, and I'm just giving an example, like there was Meta launched, I don't even know, what's the proper term for putting a model on a server? Is that a launch? Is that they open sourced it? What's the proper word?
You're asking me? I do not know.
They open source, they upload it, I mean, there's no launch really, right? I mean, they're building this thing, they're training it.
Is it releasing?
Releasing, yeah, probably released into the wild, because I guess you can download it. Some of those you can actually kind of download the whole thing from like GitHub or Hugging Face, right? Anyway, back to, so Meta, what do we say, released VoiceBox. So they released VoiceBox, a generative AI model for multilingual speech. Then, like, you know, I don't know, a day or two or three later, Google open sourced Audio Palm, you know, capital P, A, capital L, M, a large language model that they say can listen, speak, and translate. Then a couple of days later, ByteDance, that's TikTok's parent company, released PolyVoice, a new model that does direct speech-to-speech translation and probably a bunch of other things. And then we're like chewing through all these releases and models, and then up pops another model called Mu2Slam. And that model can do automatic speech recognition, automatic speech translation, machine translation in over 100 languages. And then we look at the authors and we're like, well, who's that? And it's also Google. So Google does Audio Palm, and then like a week later, they do this Mu2Slam thing, which is literally, it seems like the exact same thing, just different people. So there's probably researchers within Google that are competing. And then it was really something interesting. So there was Clément Delong, the CEO of Hugging Face, which is this open source platform where you can, you know, release, launch, upload all these models. He testified in front of the US Congress on June 26th, and he said that they already have about 200,000 models there, and about 5,000 models per week are being released on Hugging Face. Even if you're thinking that's lightly inflated, I mean, you're still talking about thousands of models a week, which is crazy, right? And he specifically called out translation in low resource languages is one of the use cases, right? So he said, okay, the model capabilities range from like data anonymization for self-driving cars, speech recognition, detect generational biases to translation in low resource languages. So that was one of the, I don't know, four or five use cases he chose to focus on when he testified in front of the US Congress. So this is very relevant, right? Especially the low resource one seems to be, I'm not sure if for PR reasons or not, but it seems to be one of the things that a lot of people would focus on. Also, so then a week later, after this testimony, we came across another model that was released by some researchers from like Wuhan University and like Chinese Academy of Sciences, et cetera. And it's called Big Translate. So they're focusing on just the translation component. Also, they're stressing the low resource nature or low resource focus of that particular large language model. They highlighted Tibetan and Mongolian. And they build it on, I think it's some variation of like Meta's Llama LLM. All right, listeners, stay with me here. Stay with me. I know it's a lot of it's a lot of different model names. I mean, who comes up with all these model names, right? So it's very, if you see it in writing form, it's easier than if you have to actually, you know, pronounce and speak it out loud. Anyway, like the broader point is there is, it's very hard to keep track of all these model launches and releases. It's even harder to kind of wade through all of the different capabilities that these models supposedly have. And then it's even harder to find out how is this really relevant to translation, because translation is always one component of it, right? But we're doing our best, and we hope that the things that we do feature on the website are those that are actually relevant for the industry in the medium to long term, right? So if we're missing anything, send us an email, editor@slater.com. Now, staying with machine translation, there was something really interesting when the European Union, their commission, the European Commission spokesperson, had a quote-unquote little housekeeping announcement. Esther, tell us more.
Yeah, a little housekeeping announcement that was during a press briefing in mid-June, I think. They actually unveiled the launch of a pilot program, which will see the European Commission using its own machine translation tool called eTranslation to translate certain press releases for the EC's press corner. So pilot program, machine translation for press releases. This was in front of a group, well, in front of the press, so in front of a group of reporters, but clearly not the main focus of the briefing, just a short housekeeping announcement at the beginning. But yeah, a bit more detail about that. The pilot will be conducted along with the DGT, which is the Directorate General for Translation. Basically, what it means from the press's perspective is that they will be able to access translations of the press material in whatever language they want to read it in faster, more quickly, and in theory, as soon as they've published. Which, I mean, I guess the way it works at the moment is that they're having to wait for those press releases to be translated into the languages before they're available in this section of the website. What they've said is that it's just an intermediary step to speed up the availability of the content. So that means the e-translation, the tool will just be used in the meantime while human translated version is being done. And they said it could provide translation in additional languages that they wouldn't have been doing before, purely with humans.
I think Rubicon crossed. That's my assessment of this, slightly. I mean, isn't a press release all about, like, you're announcing something? Like, who cares about a press release 2 days after it's out? So if you're publishing it, I mean, okay, sure, there's a disclaimer that says it's machine translated, but, well, here it is, right? It's here, and it's published, and it's by the European Commission, and it's official, and it says something. And so I'm reading it. I'm like, oh, sure, it says this. but oh, it's machine translated. Maybe it's not really what it's supposed to say. So let me wait another 24 hours for the human translation to arrive, right? So this will be really interesting to see if there's going to be a lot of like actual impactful errors or like ambiguities or things that people need to clarify, right? And sure, a lot of people would just read the English probably, or maybe the German or French. But I mean, yeah, I think it's a bit of a risk. And I think they also did narrow it. To be fair, I don't think it's all press releases. I think they did narrow it to certain.
It's quite specific. Yeah, I didn't rattle them off, but I think it's quite specific areas that they want to roll this out for. So they, yeah, so matters related to the environment, marine affairs and fisheries, transport, and the new European Bauhaus.
What is the new European Bauhaus?
I do not know.
We don't know. We shall find out.
There will also be a disclaimer. You're talking about risk. They've said that there'll be a disclaimer that will appear at the top of the page when a machine translated version is displaying.
To me, it's the wrong text type to have a disclaimer. Yeah, well, I go to GoDaddy, our like you know, where we buy website domains and connect them and blah, blah, blah. And sure, like I click and it's very well machine translated, localized. Like, and then it says, hey, you know, there's a robot icon and it says, hey, you're this particular page in German is machine translated. I'm like, sure, okay, well, maybe there's the odd oddity, but like for a press release, I don't know. And well, so they picked fisheries and some other obscure. I'm not saying fisheries is obscure, but like, you know, European Bauhaus, I don't know, don't even know what that is. So maybe, yeah, pick something that's not super critical.
Maybe not critical, and also maybe potentially not that frequent. I don't know. Also, I suppose the thing that they haven't specified is what kind of gap they usually have. So if they're not using MT, how long does it normally take for the human version to be uploaded? And equally now, so, I mean, you were saying nobody cares about a press release kind of 2-3 days later. I mean, maybe we're not talking days, but hours or half a day.
I'm not trying to belabor the point, but I think this could be a bit of a beacon to many others. If this works, then others would say, well, but the European Union is using machine translation raw for press releases. Like, I mean, why would we not use for X, for example?
For content with a very short shelf life in most languages.
The shelf life is short, but it can be quite critical, right?
You have to see how it happens in practice. Maybe keep an eye on that.
Yeah, trying to segue here into a company we're not going to have to keep an eye on is Dotsup, sadly. So they had to shut down because of a liquidity situation.
Yeah, this was rather sad news. I think we covered this in mid-June also, that the media localization company Dotsub has ceased its operations. The website at the time featured, and it still does, an undated message from the executive chairman and founder, Michael Smollins, who said, due to its current liquidity situation, the company has determined that it cannot go forward as an operating entity. He also said they'd be starting a wind-down process. Just a bit more information on the company. They sort of seemed like they were still doing business as usual up until maybe as recently as March time this year. It was founded in 2007, so been around for a while, based in New York. They had clients including Microsoft and Hewlett-Packard on the technology space. Also had a number of patents, patented technology for things like rendering text onto moving image content. So obviously, yeah, sad to see them go, and best of luck to everybody for the future.
Yeah, let me just spin this up in the Wayback Machine. Always takes a while. I did meet Michael at our New York conference way back. When was that? 2017. Wow. So let me just look at the Wayback Machine, which is where you can pull up. Yeah, so it's mostly, they call it video localization for your video localization needs, audiovisual accessibility. So, you know, subtitles, It was cloud-based, multi-tenant video TMS. Set to see them. Seem to have to shut down. Now, the reverse is true for Microsoft's language portal. Shut down and came back from the dead.
So yeah, Microsoft's language portal has made a comeback. We reported on this a couple of weeks ago. The portal is an online dictionary, multilingual, that contains computer-related terms. So you've got things like localization style guides, translations of user interface text that could be downloaded for free in 100 languages. So obviously super useful for translators, for LSPs working, or anybody interested in terminology working in that space. And we, I think towards the, was it end of June, May, we had an earlier article where we reported on Microsoft's initial announcement that they were going to kill off their beloved, or the beloved language portal. So it was going to be shut down at the end of June, they said in May, but I think just now have said that it's not going to be shut down. And we had very nice comment from Microsoft Director of International Data and Applied Science, Agustin Daffiano De Lucci. He said, considering the many voices of regret expressed by members of the linguist community, my team at Microsoft decided to explore our possibilities preserving what you, i.e. Slater, accurately described as a beloved resource. There you go. So he's acknowledging the impact of the linguists expressing their displeasure and or desire for the portal to continue.
It is beloved. Also, we're getting a lot of traffic on this particular page on the website and, you know, a lot of reactions on LinkedIn, etc. So, looks like this was something that was or is something that's really useful for not just localization folks. I think also for other people out there. So now it's back and good for everyone. Next is, your M&A and funding corner. Some stuff to catch up on. I mean, we're past the boom of like 2021, where like every day there was some major funding announcements, but you know, some stuff did happen over the past 4 weeks. Tell us more.
I think that happens. Obviously, if you leave it for a month and come back to it, you suddenly realize there's been, you know, a reasonable amount of activity in this area. So I'll just rattle through a few of the ones that we've covered over the past 4 weeks. There was XL8, which we've also covered in the past from when it raised a £3 million bridge funding round in 2022.
And had Tim on the podcast. Sorry to jump in here.
Very right. Yeah. And had Tim on the podcast. So they are media and entertainment focused speech to text and machine translation company based in California. And they, in the news, have acquired AHT, which is a provider of stenography, transcription, and localization services to the U.S. government. And it's based in Florida.
Now, that one's a bit of a head-scratcher for me. And we do want to reach out to them. It's quite recent, so we need to know a bit more. Like, what are they saying why they would buy this?
It's a good question. I mean, they said explicitly in the press release, XL8 is diversifying and growing its customer base beyond its media and entertainment roots.
But you're a startup. You don't need to diversify. You need to focus. But who am I?
Free advice from Florian.
Are they giving any reason, like anything else, why they would buy this?
Well, there was quite a nice quote, which I can sort of read out that might explain. With AI reshaping the world, XL8's management team began to understand the need to modernize services provided to the US government agencies, many of whom are years behind adapting AI technology already widely used throughout media and entertainment. Okay. Then, after a quick introduction to this market, i.e. government, and some initial successful testing, XL8 found that its speech-to-text and machine translation technology could be quickly adapted to government use cases such as court hearings, depositions, witness statements, and law enforcement interrogations, among many others. So it's the government focus that they're reaching for.
Yeah, I mean, they're saying hearings, depositions, witness statements, and law enforcement interrogation. So it's like they have something, they build it for one use case, and then, you know, seems like almost serendipitously came across another use case. Like, oh, this seems to work for this as well. Let's do it. And then they're buying a company, probably just to get clients, right?
Yeah, you've got AHT, which has got, yeah, like you say, the client and client's relationships and also the services, because they provide, like I said, stenography, transcription, localization services, where obviously Xlate is a tech company.
Now, another tech company is Localaz out of the Czech Republic. Got €1 million.
They did, yeah. Czech localization startup. They were founded in 2020. They announced at the end of June they raised €1 million in funding. The investors were JIC Garage Angels and 12 Bullets. They said post-money valuation of around of €4.5 million. They also did a first round back in 2020, so quite soon after they were founded. And yeah, work with, I think on the customer side, they work with what they said were your favorite banks and automotive manufacturers, as well as innovators of all kinds. So that's a fundraise for them.
And then something that just came in as like a couple hours before we were recording is RWS acquired ProPylon Holdings.
Yeah, I was having a hard time working out how to pronounce that. ProPylon. This company, it's developed a component CMS. So it's a content management system, essentially. They have, RWS has acquired it for a total of €30.1 million, around $33 million, plus some deferred payments 1 and 2 years after the acquisitions if certain conditions are met. Back to ProPylon. It's used by governments, standard bodies, legal publishers, and regulated firms, and it helps them draft, manage, publish, and update legal and legislative content. Okay. Yeah. It actually sounds quite, the one thing I thought was quite interesting was this, saying its unique user-friendly solution, okay, fine, allows authoring in its CMS, in the CMS through Microsoft Word. So, yeah, you can. If you think this part of the industry is very sort of PDF, fans of PDF, right? Like hand marking up PDFs or commenting on PDFs and things like that.
And it also, it's an interesting, like it's going back to maybe like the 5, 6, 7 year ago strategy of RWS, like in the regulated industry, you know, and then we had all the tech stuff.
And also the content side, sort of from what SDL was doing. Yeah. Just back to ProPylon quickly, it has revenue of $12.7 million in 2022. It grew 13-ish percent in 2022. And they said they're expecting revenues for ProPylon to grow 30% in 2023. So seems to be on a good trajectory.
3x revenue, decent tech valuation. Congrats to whoever owns ProPylon or ProPylon. We will find out for you. Closing on 11 Labs. 11 Labs is one of the like many voice generating platforms, and they announced the Series A round for $19 million. Launched in beta in late January 2023, text-to-speech and voice cloning, which is kind of all the rage at the moment. And, you know, there's the whole kind of emotional aspect we spoke to. Voice Seed about it. Actually, we also spoke to Ofer last week from Deep Dub about it. That this seems to be a capability that's now productized very aggressively. And you know, an 18, 19 million Series A is a lot of money for a Series A in at least today's funding environment. So,
and just 5 months after launching as well.
Yeah, exactly. After launching, at least they have a product, it seems, unlike some of the other guys that we spoke about, Mosaic or you know, a company that was acquired that seemed to have very little in terms of product. All right, look, let's wrap here. 11 Labs, interesting, but it's a bit adjacent to our kind of core focus here. So I'm looking forward to getting more people to register for SlaterCon Zurich. Check the agenda page. We're updating it as we confirm speakers. And yeah, see you soon.